Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's Tuesday, the 13th day of April, 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Dave Dickey will be here to urge you to dial this number with a pledge of financial support for the program. It's 217-244-9455. We'll hear an update today of planting progress in Illinois, Iowa, and Nebraska. Those are the top three corn-producing states of the nation. And talk with ag policy specialist Bob Thompson from the U of I. We'll do that in the second half hour of our program. We call it The Farming World. And if your station doesn't carry it, you can always listen online at willag.org. Hey, you can pledge there, too, and listen to our weather segments, although just stay tuned to the Closing Market Report right now, because Don Day will be here in just 26 minutes with the forecast on this edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat at $4.76, up 8 1/4. July at 4.88 3/4 for the harvest month. 8 1/4 higher in September at 5.06 1/4, 8.5 cents higher. July in Kansas City for the hard red at 5.03 3/4, 9 cents higher. Corn pit now. Nearby May futures, 3.52 1/2. The settlement price up 4 1/4. July at 3.63 1/4, up 3 3/4. September futures, 3.73 1/2, up 3 1/2. And December, 3.84 1/4, up 3 1/2 cents. March corn futures, 3.96 1/2, up 3 1/4 as well. From the soybean pit, nearby a contract, 9.68 for the May, up 8 cents. July at 9.75 1/2, up 7 for the day. August futures at 9.71, up 8 3/4. And September at 9.50, up 6 1/4. November beans at 9.45, a dime higher. January at 9.53, up 9 3/4. May bean meal futures at 275.20, up $3.80. July at 275.10, up $4.60. May bean oil today, 39.74.15 higher. July at 40.19, up 14. April live cattle futures, 98.32 1/2, down 67 1/2. The June futures there at 93.47 1/2 from the CME group, down 57 1/2. April feeders at 113.30, up, or rather down 72 1/2 cents. And the May contract at 113.60, down 145. April lean hog futures, 76.75, 37 1/2 cents higher. May futures at $84.70, up $1.60. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil at $84.02, down 32 cents. Ethanol at $1.54.04. Settlement price up 8 cents. Natural gas, 0.8 cents, that is. Natural gas at $4.15, up 14 2/10 cents. And the May heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.21.04. That's just about 4 tenths lower. Gold futures at $1,152.80 an ounce, down $8.80 today. And the Dow now at 11,017, just about 12 points higher. U.S. dollar at 80.5 is down 0.06 on the afternoon. If you have not dialed in yet with your pledge of financial support to this programming, please do so. The number to call is 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. That's W-I-L-L, pledge.org. Pledge your financial support for agricultural programming that comes to you via the public radio station in Urbana-Champaign and some companion stations throughout the nation, including several in Illinois. Commercial stations, a cooperation between the commercial stations, University of Illinois Extension, the public station here on campus, and you, the listener. And it makes a big difference to us if you dial in with that pledge of financial support. Dave Dickey is here. He's director of Ag Programming. He'll tell you that, well, it's important to do it and probably ought to start maybe at the $120 level. Dave?
We like that $120 level, Todd. We think it's a fair level for what agricultural people receive from us all year long. You know, we have about $500 in challenge money thus far in the bank, and we can get another $500 when we hear from just 8 callers right now at area code 217-244-9455. This all courtesy from Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
217-244-9455. You're, of course, listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is a production of Illinois Public Media. Dave Dickey, the director of Ag Programming, is in the studio with us, urging you to dial this number again, 217-244-9455, with your pledge of financial support. Dave, it makes a big difference in the way the station operates when the people who listen to the station, or stations in this case, take the opportunity and get involved financially with us.
One phone call at a time, one person at a time, one farmer at a time. That's how we build the service. And we could not have done all that we've done over the last 5 years without their support. We wouldn't have a weekly ag e-letter. We wouldn't have a phone service. We wouldn't have a text service. We wouldn't be expanding on the YouTube. We wouldn't be offering so many agricultural outlook meetings each and every week. We wouldn't even be probably talking on a network with other folk along the line this afternoon if it wasn't for the dependable and solid support of our listeners. They are our most dependable source now, Todd, now that the financial situations are what they are in Illinois and on the federal level. And it is those people that make this service go and make it grow. 217-244-9455, the number to call. And I can't stress enough, we really need to hear from 8 supporters this afternoon in order that Farm Credit Services of Illinois will give us another $500 of challenge money toward our overall goal for this fund drive. 217-244-9455. Don't be the one that said someone else will do it, Todd. In other words, you get on the phone now and give us a phone call at 217-244-9455. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express card. And it is... Thank you. I guess I just want to say thank you very much in advance.
Indeed. Thank you very much. And thanks to Dave Dickey. He'll be back during the program with updates of how we're doing. But really, it is a cooperative effort between the University of Illinois, the public station here on this campus in Urbana-Champaign, and our commercial affiliates. And we do appreciate that. But we also need you to be involved. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Wayne Nelson is one of the people that have been around now for a couple of decades with us on the air to talk about the agricultural markets. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Thank you so much for your service over the years. It really means a lot to us, and I know it means a lot to the listeners, too. Talk to me about what happened in Chicago today.
Well, I think today was a day full of rumors, the biggest rumor being that there was the Chinese were looking to buy some more beans. Yesterday we had a sale reported, as a sale out of the U.S. We are hearing under the table that it's a optional origin, either Argentina or U.S., and they decided to announce it as a U.S. sale, and they're also looking for more. And there was some more beans actually booked by China out of Argentina today. Also, and of course, with the Chinese government going to be over here for talks here before the end of the month, and generally during that time period, there's some sort of sale announced along the way. So I think there's some eagerness and some people just not wanting to be short as tight as the old stock beans were going into the rumors we'd heard about that, Todd.
Dismiss the rumors then and tell me what you really think is happening in the marketplace.
Well, we've had the dollar stabilize a little bit on talk that there might be some think tanks. We're talking that interest rates might have to come up a little sooner than what had been indicated, but then the dollar fell back off, and it was down about 6 or 7 cents by the close. And when the dollar went negative and crude oil come way off its lows and actually turned positive for a little while, that along with the rumors and the ideas that a few more corn acres might get planted at the speed that this crop's going in the ground this week. One of our farmers was just in and told me he finished planting corn 10 minutes ago. So he's got all of his corn in the ground already.
Well, the numbers didn't show that yesterday, that's for sure.
No, but I'll tell you what, the corn is flying in the ground over the last 2 to 3 days over here. We've got great weather. Some of our customers in Kentucky, they figured that they'd be done by tomorrow evening. So we were seeing a lot of grain go in the ground awfully, awfully fast.
It goes in the ground quickly. And are they saying conditions? Did they get it in condition, the field in condition for planting that quickly? And were field conditions pretty good for them, or were they having
started, Todd, I think it was a little wet in some cases. But Gary, that was just in here, told me that his ground was working about as good as it's worked in the last 4 years. So I think that we've seen some good conditions here in the northern part of Montgomery County, the southern part being a little bit wetter and maybe not quite as fast to planting. But all in all, we've seen some liquidation of some of the shorts. Have been short for a long time. They're willing to take some profits. They're willing to stand aside if there is really something big happening with the Chinese. And if you've noticed, the open interest has been dropping on this rally here, so it is a little more short covering than just out and out buying.
Hey, what do you think of the Dow climbing up above 11,000?
Hey, you know, the Dow looks great. I read one of the banks' letters here this morning, and they're very, very positive towards the economy and feeling that this Dow will continue to maybe gain a little strength. I know that Cramer was on, and he is he's a 1,200 bull now, because now is the first time we've been up above 1,100, I think, for about over 8 months, and he's touting the 1,200 mark. So the economy seems to be stabilizing, and that's another thing that a lot of the people are putting behind the ideas of the grain market here and the physicals and the commodities, is saying that as the world economy improves, that the demand for commodities is going to stay strong.
Well, if Cramer says 12,000, booyah, I suppose it's got to go.
Booyah, there we go. You know, I don't know that it does or doesn't, but he has been fairly credible.
I suppose that's right. Hey, thanks so much. And we do appreciate all the work that you do with us.
All right. And we'd appreciate any of you guys who want to call in and make a donation. Let's try to take Farm Credit's money here along the way. They charge enough interest out there. Let's get some of it back for you guys.
That's a good deal. Thanks so much. And that is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And where else can you go and get a little bit of Farm Credit Services money back? But right here at this radio station, when you pledge your financial support to the agricultural programming you're listening to, whether that's online or on the station, just call in with your pledge of support. Do it right now. The number to call is 217-244-9455. It's a cooperative effort between the University of Illinois, U of I Extension, the radio station here on campus, that's the public station, WILL, and your commercial affiliate that you're listening to this afternoon. If you do call in, please do tell us which radio station you're listening to, and make sure you tell them that you're pledging in support of agriculture one way or the other. So we want to know which station you're listening to and whether you're calling in support of ag. Those are the two things that will mark that money for us and make sure that we get to pick Farm Credit Services pockets for about, another $500. When we started, we were looking for 8 calls. Dave Dickey is here now. He's got an update of where we're at. Hopefully there are calls that are starting to come in, but maybe not yet. Dave, what we really want to happen is for those producers to pick up the phone. They're probably out there listening at this point. The number to call, 217-244-9455.
Making a contribution is real easy, Todd. Takes about 30 seconds. 217-244-9455. You can point your browser, if you're listening online, to willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org. You can make your contribution that way as well. Think of it as an investment. Just a few minutes of your time, a few of your dollars will bring you hours and hours and hours of agricultural programming. $10 a month is what we're looking for, Todd. $10 a month is $2.50 a week for agricultural programming. Imagine if you had to do this yourself. If you had to put in the time to come up with 5 meteorologists, if you had to put in the time to come up with 15 analysts a week, if you had to put in the time to go find someone in Washington, D.C. to listen to on 20 minutes a day on some super interesting subject that does affect your back pocket, if you had to put in the time to look at technicals and fundamentals, what would that cost you? I bet it would cost a whole lot more than $2.50 a week. And that's all we're asking you, $10 a month, $120 a year, at 217-244-9455. And get in Farm Credit Services back pocket.
Yeah, actually, you know, you can call in. We suggest $120 more is great. Less is fine. Whatever amount you really want to pledge is perfectly fine. Just do that now. And, you know, we get behind the eight ball. We want those eight calls. We really do. And if you get the opportunity right now, dial that number. It's 217-244-9455. Well, yesterday afternoon, USDA released its crop progress report, and it showed producers had planted nationwide 3% of the intended corn acreage for the 2010 crop season, slightly ahead of last year, but one percentage point behind the five-year average. Planting underway in Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa, and Minnesota, four of the five largest corn-producing states, with progress slightly ahead of normal in Iowa and Minnesota. We'll hear from Iowa in a moment, and here's a quick update from Illinois.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending April 11, 2010. Rain and hail early in the week, along with cold, windy weather and isolated frost, slowed field work across Iowa this past week. As the weather allowed, farmers mainly concentrated on applying fertilizer and chemicals and continuing with spring tillage. There were 3.6 days suitable for field work during the week, compared with 3.9 days last week. Topsoil moisture rated 97% adequate to surplus across Iowa, and subsoil moisture rated even higher at 99% adequate to surplus. Corn planting has begun, with all areas of the state reporting at least some small acreage planted. With soil temperatures averaging in the low 50s across Iowa, farmers are optimistic that good weather this week will allow them to get planters rolling at a quicker pace. Oat acreage planted was 55% complete, well ahead of last year's 31% and the five-year average of 30%. Pasture condition rated 92% fair or better, with 7% rated in the excellent category, although in some areas they remain excessively wet. With calving in full swing, the impact of the long winter and subpar nutrition in some cases is showing up in reports of above-normal calf losses. This past week brought typical spring weather to Iowa with a wide range of temperatures and a pair of severe storm outbreaks. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 5.4 degrees above normal statewide, with weekly rainfall amounts exceeding an inch over much of central and northeastern Iowa. Rainfall averaged 0.95 inches across Iowa, compared with a normal of 0.74 inches. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending April 11th. This is the first in a series of weekly crop progress and condition audio reports for the 2010 growing season. These weekly reports will conclude when harvest is over in early November. To begin, let's take a look at weather conditions since the start of 2010. In the month of January, temperatures were cold, averaging 3.8 degrees below normal, and precipitation was also reported 43/100ths of an inch below normal. And while the vast majority of producers had finished their harvesting activities in one of the wettest falls on record, there were still areas where farmers were trying to finish when the weather would permit. February continued the cold trend with snow cover and an average statewide temperature of 25 degrees, 5 degrees below normal. Precipitation in February averaged 1.6 inches, which was 3/10ths of an inch below normal. And for March, the cold trend finally broke, with statewide temperatures averaging 42.8 degrees, which was 2.4 degrees above normal, and precipitation averaged a near-normal 2.7 inches for the month. And now taking a look into the second week of April, Mother Nature could not have been more generous, with temperatures averaging 57 degrees, which was an amazing 9.3 degrees above normal. This, accompanied with some stiff breezes, helped to dry down the fields across the state, allowing postponed fall fieldwork activities to be completed. Topsoil moisture supplies ended the week at 1% short, 70% adequate, and 29% surplus, with the wettest area of the state being reported in the West Southwest Crop Reporting District, with 55% in the surplus category. These near-ideal conditions over most of the state allowed corn planting to begin in earnest. The week ended with 1% reported planted, which compares to 4% for the five-year average. Illinois producers intend to plant 40,000 acres of oats this year, with 73% of those plantings complete, compared to 32% last year and the five-year average, up 36%. The condition of the soft red winter wheat crop came in at 7% very poor, 23% poor, 34% fair, 34% good, and 2% excellent. Pastures and alfalfa fields benefited from the wet fall and winter, and now with above normal temperatures have turned a lush green and were rated in fair to mostly good condition. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason in studio. A quick update of what's been happening with our phone call. We've got three in, but we need five more to make our challenge. So if folks haven't dialed in yet, Dave Dickey, they need to call 217-244-9455.
And they need to call right now because that's $500 on the line from Farm Credit Services of Illinois during the Closing Market Report. We get that $500 when we hear from five more supporters of Ag. 217-244-9455, the number to call.
On Tuesday afternoons, we always take a look at the agricultural energy markets on Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services, it's an ADM affiliate, joins us from his Chicago office. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, you had an interesting week last week. I'd like you to report back to us just a bit. You were at the EIA, our Energy Information Agency Conference. What did they discuss?
Well, the conference itself is made up of a variety of individuals from the Federal Reserve was represented to the renewable fuel standard people, EPA, and many of the statisticians from some of the major corporations such as Exxon and BP also provided some insights on the market. I guess one of the things is certainly the energy programs are seen almost as a job program in many respects. They see it as boosting jobs in this sector by adopting some of the more technological innovations in terms of some of the Environmental Protection Agency's standards, but also moving toward other alternative resources. One key thing in terms of prices, I guess, one thing that I probably brought away was really, I don't think people have really picked up how much impact the investors in investment dollars flowing into these funds have somewhat distorted these markets. You see so much where people talk about excess capacity and the demand side, all contributing possibly to a weaker price structure, but not seeing it. And I think what they're trying to search for answers. So there's a lot of question marks still out there in what direction we're going, but they're trying to come up with the answers.
You think they'll find any? 30 seconds left.
It's going to be a massive effort, I think, from everyone's standpoint in terms of the agricultural sector. I think the key is going to be involved. There's a lot of money going into this sector. It's going to remain a big business in terms of the environment and energy going hand in hand.
Thanks so much, Stephen.
Thank you.
Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services. This is the Closing Market Report. From Illinois Public Media, I'm Todd Gleason. We're busily working our way towards, well, a goal this afternoon of getting eight calls in to meet a challenge for Farm Credit Services to put another $500 into the till here. Dave Dickey, Director of Ag Programming, has been keeping tally. How are we doing, Dave?
Well, Todd, we have three phone calls to go to receive $500 from Farm Credit Services. You can be the next call at 217 844-944-9455 with your pledge of support. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express card. Let me make the argument to you of why this $500 is so important to Illinois Public Media Agriculture. This year, state funding to WILL decreased by more than $100,000. And you can imagine that would be a fairly significant blow to our operations. But more than that, it's part of a trend, Todd. Over the last 5 years alone, WILL state funding has dropped by more than 55%. Let that number sink in for a second. 55%. And that's why this $500 is so crucial to our operation. We are scraping the bottom of the barrel, putting the programs that you value on the air, doing the best we can to be the best stewards we can with the money that you have given us over the years. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Be the next person and help us put to bed that Farm Credit Service Challenge. $500 at stake when we hear from three more people at 217-244-9455. 5-5.
This, of course, is Illinois Public Media. It is publicly supported by our listeners. The number to call, 217-244-9455. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, is here to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
It's a beautiful day here. Are we going to have more of them in the coming days?
Well, we continue to be benefiting from a southerly wind flow that's brought temperatures to above normal values, and we've also been benefiting from a storm pattern where most of the activity has been out west and directed to the north and west of us. There's going to be a big spring storm over some of the northern plains and Rockies, places like Montana, some portions of the Dakotas, looking at some significant areas of rain and snow. But a lot of this activity is going to stay out of the Midwest, at least here for the next few days. So this is going to keep our warm temperatures in place, with any shower activity confined to the northern areas, the western areas of the Corn Belt, with maybe a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity moving in, but not until Friday.
You know, the weather is never perfect for a producer, and they probably like the dry weather, but eventually they're going to want a little rainfall. Do you see any in the distance?
I do. What we're going to see is a little bit of a change in the weather pattern that's going to make storms a little bit more progressive coming out of the west and into the Midwest, and taking a track that's going to be a little bit more productive for moisture. I see this as a pattern mid to late next week, especially late next week. I do see the pattern getting wetter, more stormy. We're going to be talking about severe weather during that time frame. But for the next week or so, we're still going to be warmer than normal, and while not completely dry, probably you're going to end up being drier than normal.
All right, let's move to other growing areas of the globe, in particular China. It's the beginning of their growing season for maize or corn and soybean as well. What kind of crop conditions do they have for planting?
Well, they're definitely going to be looking at some active weather. Moisture is going to be a good bet, so there might be some delays due to some areas, some pockets of heavier moisture falling. Active spring pattern developing there.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us from his offices there. You have been listening to the Closing Market Report. Remember to dial this number, 217-244-9455, with your pledge of financial support to this program, the Closing Market Report. In a moment, we'll continue with the farming world. Our guest today, Bob Thompson, Ag Policy Specialist from the U of I on most of these radio stations.
And I'm Dave Dickey, the Director of Agriculture for Illinois Public Media here at the radio stations, AM 580, where I'm here to tell you we are one phone call away from meeting our challenge with Farm Credit Services for $500. They promised us $500 to our kitty when we heard from 20 agricultural supporters. We are at 19 agricultural supporters right now. You can be the one that puts us over the top right now with your phone call at 217-244-9455. Again, we accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Put us over the top, 217-244-9455. We'll let you know how we did at 250.
Thank you very much, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming. If you have not given us that call yet, please do so. The number is 217-244-9455.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Support for agricultural programming comes from the Westchester Group, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in land auctions for farmland, timberland, and recreational land. More information on upcoming auctions is at westchester-auctions.com or at 800-607-6888.
This is the Farming World News and Interviews from the Land Grant in Urbana-Champaign. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Today we'll talk again with Professor Bob Thompson. He's the Gardner Endowed Chair in Agricultural Policy at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Dr. Thompson, thank you for joining us for 2 days in a row. I want to take up trade and ag policy in the United States. There's much that's been happening and will continue to happen in Washington, D.C. How has the Obama administration dealt with agriculture?
Well, we passed the Farm Bill last year, and which authorizes, of course, our commodity programs for the next 5 years, and it took a couple of years to get that through. But since the Farm Bill was done, I think the priorities of the Obama administration appear to have been much more in the areas of food safety and increasingly rural development, cap and trade, more of the issues that are policy areas that affect agriculture but don't come under the rubric of what we normally think of as ag policy as defined by farm bills. The other area that's very important that I think has been neglected is the trade negotiations. The Obama administration has put increased emphasis on enforcement of past agreements, but we're sitting here with three free trade agreements that have been negotiated with Korea and Colombia and Panama that have not been pushed through ratification in the Congress. The president doesn't have trade promotion authority at the moment, and so it's hard for the U.S. negotiators to push the WTO trade negotiations forward very far. And it's going to take the president's commitment to push that process forward, and so far we haven't seen much evidence of that happening.
Yeah, so not interested in TPA or Trade Promotion Authority?
Well, it appears that there's simply not a commitment to international trade agreements. Now, the sad thing is that even though the multilateral trade negotiations going on in Geneva have been marking time now for a couple of years or more, the rest of the world is rapidly negotiating bilateral and regional trade agreements, and the whole world agricultural economy is becoming balkanized in those trading areas, and the U.S. simply isn't in the game because nobody's going to negotiate with us as long as the president doesn't have the power to negotiate an agreement and send it to Capitol Hill for one up or down vote, which is what goes with the Trade Promotion Authority.
Yeah, President Bush didn't have TPA at the end of his tenure either, and that didn't seem to be a priority for that administration. The Obama administration doesn't seem to have a priority for TPA. Why is this the case?
After the world financial crisis of September 2008, with the rising unemployment rates both in the U.S. as well as many other high-income countries, it became increasingly difficult to carry on trade negotiations that might liberalize international trade, because the trade negotiations are a two-way street. We negotiate greater access to other countries' markets for things that we produce efficiently or more efficiently, but that only happens if we're willing to accept more goods from countries that can produce other things more efficiently than we can. And with 10% unemployment rate, it's just politically difficult to undergo the necessary adjustment that would go with the a trade liberalization agreement. And so we've just basically marked time.
Marked time with those bilateral agreements. The same with the WTO?
Worse than the WTO. It's stagnated during this period, including the tail end of the Bush administration. I don't think either the Bush administration or the Obama administration have given their negotiators in Geneva license to really strike deals. And as a result, they just haven't gone. They haven't gone anywhere. We're not negotiating bilateral agreements right now, but virtually everybody else in the world is. But other countries will only negotiate with us if the president gets trade promotion authority, or what used to be known as fast track authority, once again.
Is this something you would call, this lack of movement, something you would call protectionistic, and is it a problem?
Well, certainly the failure to complete the negotiations opened the door for backsliding, increasing protectionism, and we in the United States have been as guilty as that as any other country with our Buy America measures, the taxes we put on imports of tires from China, the general protectionist tone, and much more emphasis on enforcement than on negotiation.
Each and every week, those of us that follow agriculture read something about the WTO negotiations, and in particular, the cotton row between Brazil and the United States. It was, to some extent, settled last week. Can you tell me about the agreement?
Basically what Brazil alleged is that the U.S. cotton program was stimulating larger production of cotton in the U.S., which when pushed than would otherwise have occurred, then when it was pushed out into the world market, it depressed the world market prices from which Brazil's cotton growers get the entire income, because they don't have a support program down there. And WTO agreed with Brazil that U.S. cotton program was indeed doing that. It's basically the same structure as our grains and oilseeds support programs, with target prices and loan deficiency payments and countercyclical payments, direct payments. So it does raise questions about the WTO legality also of our grain and oilseeds programs. But basically, cotton, the cotton case, the U.S. should have changed the cotton program as a result of the adverse ruling in the WTO, but instead we have basically thumbed our nose at the WTO ever since then. We even wrote a new farm bill in 2008, which basically enshrined in law for another 5 years the provisions which had been found to be illegal under international trade law. And so as a result, the U.S. lost a lot of credibility in the world. Now, the agreement that Brazil struck with the U.S. last week does absolutely nothing to restore the confidence of the rest of the world in the United States' willingness to abide by the agreements that we enter into, because basically we bribe Brazil to back off, with $147 million a year support to Brazil's cotton growers. And basically bribe Brazil to back off until we write the next farm bill in 2012. But of course, if you look at what happened in 2008, with no changes in the policies that were found to be illegal under international trade law, it doesn't bode particularly well for us actually changing them in 2012 either. But this has been a real problem for the U.S. in this round of trade negotiations, because we're seen as really the bad guys, whereas in the last round of trade negotiations, the U.S. was leading the world in the direction of decoupling payments from production of specific commodities and moving to more direct payments that are less trade distorting. We did an about-face in the 2002 Farm Bill about the time the European Union had advanced a long ways down the road that we had been advocating. And so we did an about-face and continued the opposite direction in 2012, while the European Union has basically pretty much decoupled their payments from production of any specific commodities. And as a result, they're viewed as the good guys and us the bad guys in this round. And last week's cotton decision did nothing to improve that situation for us.
Well, when you look at the agreement, the $147 million is paid out yearly until the next farm bill is written and I think implemented. So that could take some time. That's not enough of an incentive, you think, for Congress to really tackle the issues when we get into the next farm bill? It seems like it says economically, we've done this once and we might be on the hook again for $147 million yearly until if you don't change this particular law.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And Brazil is entitled to compensation as a result of our winning the case. The U.S. in the last round of trade negotiations worked hard to get a more ironclad dispute settlement process written into the WTO charter, and we got it. And of course, we have been also a victim of our own success in this cotton case. But another thing that really has turned off the rest of the world is the fact that Brazil also took a case against the European Union at the same time they took the case to the WTO against our cotton program. They took a case against the European sugar support program. The difference is when the EU also lost its case, it immediately set about reforming its sugar program. They dropped the support price 43% in the first year, set up a buyout program to buy out underappreciated assets of sugar beet growers and sugar beet processors. And the U.S. has thumbed its nose at the decision, the adverse decision against our cotton program. And the fact that we simply are not changing our program, despite its inconsistency with international trade law, really sends a message to the rest of the world that we're not that serious about these trade negotiations or being a good believing in the rules-based international trading system, which is what this is all about.
What do they use to say for the reasons that they have not changed the cotton program?
Is it
a security issue of some sort, or
no? It's the power of the cotton lobby. The Cotton Council is a very powerful lobby in Washington, and I sometimes semi-facetiously say that it's the most vertically integrated lobbying effort that exists in Washington. They have in one organization representing farmers, those who ship the cotton, those who gin the cotton, those who transform the cotton into garments or into cloth and then into garments, those who export the cotton, they get everybody on board. And that when you get the whole industry up and down the value added chain integrated in one interest or one lobbying organization, they have a lot of clout. And it's simply been cotton's power that has kept the program from being changed, despite the damage it does to the U.S. reputation around the world.
You're listening to The Farming World. We're talking today with Professor Bob Thompson. He's the Gardner Endowed Chair in Agricultural Policy at the University of Illinois. More with him when we return.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, we're on our way to meeting a challenge this afternoon, another $500 for Illinois Public Media and the agricultural programming that you're listening to today, and you do on a regular basis. Thank you to everybody who's called in with their pledge of financial support. Dave Dickey is here. He's director of ag programming for the radio station and has an update with some, well, names to read to thank this afternoon, Dave.
There's been an outpouring of support this afternoon in support of Illinois Public Media Agriculture. We encourage you to make your call of support right now at 217-244-9455. I want to shout out a big thank you to a number of people, including Bend Farms, John Emerson, Mary Ann Tucker, Patricia Hannon, David and Karen Smith, Dodd Morris, Christopher Thorpe, David Anderson, Brent Becker, Jess Martin, Joy and Dudley Severs, and a person that you might know about, a guy by the name of Tim Gleason, who says, tell Todd Hyde from Tim Gleason on his form here today.
Did he really?
Yes, he did. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. You be the next to join the group of ag supporters.
Well, thank you very much to my brother and to all those folks who have called in with their financial support. If you haven't dialed in yet, do it now. 217-244-9455. Help us to continue meeting the challenges here at our radio station. The number to call, 244-9455 or willpledge.org. This is Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Hey, you know what we did this afternoon is we met our challenge, by the way. At least 27 folks called in during the last, 10 to 12 hours with support of agricultural programming. It's a good start. We've got another challenge tomorrow, so if you haven't called yet, please do so. 217-244-9455. This is the Farming World from Illinois Public Media, news and interviews from the Land Grant in Urbana-Champaign. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're talking today with Bob Thompson. He's the Gardner Endowed Chair in Agricultural Policy at the U of I. When we left him, we were talking about WTO negotiations and the Farm Bill and what's been happening in Washington, D.C. Dr. Thompson, let's look forward to the next round of the Farm Bill negotiations, 2012. The Farm Bill should take place. What kinds of things do you expect will be on the table?
Budget deficit will be first and foremost. We're going to be writing the Farm Bill in hopefully with the U.S. economy on the rebound, but with an immense amount of increase in international debt of the U.S. government. That's because basically everything we're spending in the stimulus program is being borrowed abroad. We haven't raised taxes to pay our way. Instead, we've actually, we're borrowing from people in other countries to pump all this money into the U.S. economy to get it moving again. And I think by 2012, the U.S. economy will be doing much better, and the Congress is going to have to confront the issue of how are we going to pay for the stimulus resources that we borrowed abroad. So I think that we will see the Congress being very attentive to the budget cost of the program. I think a lot of the farm organizations will try to defend the status quo, but I think that may become increasingly difficult. There was quite a bit of discussion in the last Farm Bill about what is the real problem of agriculture that justifies government involvement. And the conclusion that a lot of people came to is that it's the extremely high capital intensity of our farm sector that's financed principally with debt financing as opposed to equity financing, so that it's extremely vulnerable to volatility in total revenue. And as a result, the notion of some form of a government subsidy to a revenue insurance program instead of the hodgepodge of sometimes conflicting and often overlapping programs that we have. There are at least five programs that support corn and beans and cotton and the other program crops. We have countercyclical payments, loan deficiency payments, direct payments, a big subsidy to crop insurance, and also disaster payments that are made to states that have natural disasters. And what people are saying is, let's ensure the product of price times yield revenue rather than ensuring yield and or price as we have in the past. There's also a big issue about direct payments. Chairman Peterson, chairman of the House Ag Committee, has already expressed what you're hearing many quarters, that maybe we ought to take the money that we're spending for direct payments and use that as agriculture's contribution to deficit reduction. The problem with that, of course, is that flies in the face of everything that the U.S. advocated in the last round of WTO trade negotiations, as well as in this round. The whole tone of those negotiations has been to shift support away from production of specific commodities to direct payments that are decoupled from production of any specific commodity. So do we redesign our commodity programs into a more consistent revenue insurance programs? They take the money we're spending in all five support areas and pool it and focus the resources on what's the real problem of modern agriculture in the United States? Or we can we make it consistent with the WTO trade agreements or trade negotiations? And, of course, just the pure budget cost of the program is also going to be a big deal.
If you were to do that, which of the programs should survive those five, or should there be different ones developed?
What seems to me, it would make most sense to take everything we're spending on loan deficiency payments, countercyclical payments, direct payments, subsidies to crop insurance, and disaster payments, some of which focus on price, some of which focus on yield, some focus on revenue, and pool those resources and focus it on the real problem. Now, the other alternative, what the Europeans have done, is they took everything they were spending on all those types of programs, put it in the pot, divided it by the number of acres in farm production, and then make an annual acreage payment to farmers as long as they satisfy some conservation cross-compliance rules. They call it basically paying farmers for providing environmental services. That's neutral with respect to what you grow, because it doesn't matter what you grow on the land to qualify for the payment. It's whether or not you follow good conservation measures. That's advocated by some environmental groups in the United States to the extent that they feel that agriculture should be subsidized at all.
Dr. Thompson, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Bob Thompson is professor of agricultural policy at the University of Illinois, and he serves as the Gardner Endowed Chair. You've been listening to The Farming World. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. I bid you a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.